Praise the Lord, church. It's good to be here on our first Sunday of 2019. Brand new start. We get to start over. Aren't you thankful? Put 2018 behind us. We just pray for a moment and allow God to just work in every one of us individually. Lord, I thank you for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for new beginnings and just a fresh start here today, Lord, in your house in 2019. Lord, we need your presence, Lord. We need your presence to touch our heart and our mind, Lord, here today, Lord. Lord, we're changed, Lord, when we encounter your presence, Lord. Lord, you change things in our life, Lord. Our mind becomes renewed, Lord. All things are passed away, because all things are become new. Because of you, because we encounter your presence, Lord, in this place, in Jesus' name. Lord, have your will and your way in our hearts and our lives here today, in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord together.
Seated if you wish, but we are going back to some really old songs.
Hardly a comfort can above. Tell me where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul.
I don't know how many times in my life there were things that you face that are just so big, you got nowhere else to go but to the Lord, and He always comes through.
Yes.
Yes. Praise the Lord. Oh,
Hallelujah. Those are some powerful words. And those songs, those are the witness of and a testimony for the ones that wrote those songs and sung them years ago. So I'd say again, I'm so thankful that Brother and Sister Spanner here today.
Yes.
God did so many things that night that it may take time to actually get the revelation and understand what he did, but I was able to tell somebody at work about it this week. And what it did is it opened a door to share with a coworker of other things that God did.
Sure.
How he used me in the situation. But one of the things that first came to my mind is the church responded first and began to pray.
Yep.
Then, secondly, somebody called the first responder to come tend to Sister Span. But God's purpose was for us to respond first.
Right.
And I got thinking about that. And over the time when Brother Al, we were on our way back from family camp one year, and there was a motorcycle that had a collision with a car at 1 o'clock in the morning. God put us there 20 minutes before an ambulance showed up. And he put us there to be a first responder and pray with those
right.
people. And it happened literally within one year. It happened about three or four times.
Wow.
There was a head-on collision on Alder Main Road. I was there, and the front end was mangled of this car. And this guy was pinning his car, and I saw his glasses in the back seat. And it was probably 10 minutes before the ambulance showed up. And I heard Christian music on his radio. And I'm like, Lord, you put me here to pray for this person.
Yeah.
But God, this is the evidence of the body of Christ working.
Yep.
And this is what God intended. For us to be the first responders. And you can testify this. Testify it of it, what happened this week, and God may recall some things to your mind of how God used you in other ways. But this is an opening and a door for all of us to be a witness to what we've seen and what we heard. And God will open that door. We're going to talk this morning for a few minutes about how to be an effective, fruitful Christian. I'll read the text and you can be seated quickly after. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped of the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can be seated at this time. This is an encouraging, this is a challenging topic this morning for the next few minutes. I'm going to be challenged by this. If I apply this to my life, I'm not going to be the same person I am right now by the end of 2019. This is something that we're going to talk about. It's going to require effort on my part. what is it that empowers a Christian to become an effective and a fruitful believer? It's simply this. It's just abiding in Christ. Mark Howell wrote in his book titled Thrive, he stated, abound is the verb form of abundantly, the word Jesus uses in John 10:10 to describe the thriving life he intends for us. To abound in thanksgiving is to purposely direct the overflow of our root system into other people's lives. The only fruitful Christian is the one who abides, who hangs in there with Jesus. We can't abound, we can't thrive unless we abide in Christ. When we do, he produces a fruit. It's not putting on a pair of football cleats or tying on a pair of Air Jordans. It's not about earthly gain or these accolades that have no eternal effect. To abound is to thrive, and to thrive is to grow vigorously, is to flourish and to exceed. And the enemy is going to want us to buy in, to just survive, to have this mentality, you know what, this is this life you're living is only for the weak and for the feeble. It's not. God intends for us not to just, not to have a survivor mentality in our walk, in our everyday walk, but to have a vibrant, thriving life. And we need to say that. We need our ears to hear that. I'm going to thrive in you today. Through you, I'm going to thrive. Sometimes we like to wake up in the morning, and we feel like, depends on certain days, okay, we already have our back against the wall. And that's the lie of the enemy, and I'm not going to buy into that, because God says, I don't want you to just to survive. I want you to do away with that kind of mentality. Maybe in 2019, we could put 2018 behind me, and if I ever entertain that thought, and however long I've entertained the thought of trying just to survive or get through today, I'm going to put that behind me. In 2019, I'm going to thrive in this. I'm going to walk in this. I'm going to talk in this. I'm going to grow in this. And it may be uncomfortable at times, but I'm not going to be the person I once was. I'm going to have a looking forward mentality in my walk in relationship with God. And I'm so thankful for fresh starts. We studied about these disciplines, which involve the subtraction of carnal behaviors and the addition of practices that help form us spiritually. The practice of the many disciplines we've learned in the recent weeks are able to produce within us the multiplication of spiritual fruit, and will greatly limit, if not eliminate, the division within the body of Christ. But that requires me to take action and to apply these principles to my life, these disciplines. Before someone can produce fruit, they must experience spiritual birth and spiritual growth. Infants aren't capable of reproducing, and an immature tree isn't able to bear fruit. The process of reproduction and fruit bearing is reserved for the mature, and it's the same with us spiritually as well. While on one hand, bearing fruit is reserved for the mature, on the other hand, all healthy growing believers will bear fruit. And fruit is the evidence of growth and maturity. Luke 13, 6 through 9 reads, "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it to the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." I could see Christ himself interceding for us individually. Maybe we became a new convert, and we hesitated in our growth. There's 7 character traits, and one is virtue. And maybe we got this virtue down. Maybe we got this one of the character traits I'm going to talk about first down, but we didn't go from the next building block. And God, it doesn't matter where we are in life, or how old we are, how young we are, we should always be striving to grow in a walking relationship with God. And it's our responsibility. God gave us the tools. He gave us a unlimited relationship with him where we could call upon him day or night. When things are going good and things are not going good, I could call upon him. But it's up to me, and I have 24 hours in a day. For me, what am I going to do with my time? My time is designated for certain things that I have no control over, but I do have a certain amount of time that is my free will. What am I going to do with that particular time? Am I going to use that to personally grow in my walking relationship with God? I'll be honest with you. This is a personal challenge for me. I'm not here to preach anybody down, but I want to preach and I want to teach and challenge every one of us, and that includes myself here this morning. I remember Aaron Bounds. He's a man that spoke in youth Illinois Youth Convention a few years ago, and he spoke of this person that he knew that he transplanted fruit trees in his yard, and come springtime, when the tree began to bud, he would pull the buds off the tree. So if he didn't do that, the tree would begin to grow fruit instantly. But he did this for 3 years. For 3 years, they did not have fruit in that tree. And he asked the guy, "Why did you do that? Why did you pull the buds off the tree?" He said, "This tree will bear fruit pretty quickly, but it will take away from the effectiveness and how this tree is rooted in the ground. So being said, it will bear fruit, but during those off seasons when it does bear fruit, when the storms come, it won't be grounded enough to be here for the next season. So just as important as it is for us to be fruit bearers, it's just as important for us to be grounded. And that's why God gives us time as new converts in Him to get grounded in the world and grounded in this truth, to get grounded in the church. You just don't become a new convert and all of a sudden you're catapulted into a ministry in the church. You have time to grow. You have time to experience what it's like to be a part of the body of Christ. And as you mature in that, as you grow and be grounded in that, and you go through discipleship, everybody that has any type of leadership role in the church, you're with a pastor, and he gives you a discipleship course. It depends on what area of ministry that you are looking to want to be in or you have a desire to be in. He's going to take you through that discipleship course. He wants you to be grounded. He wants to establish you. God wants to establish you in the church body so you can grow and mature. And there's people that have these seven traits that we're going to talk about. And the beauty of the body is to see other people's with these traits in action in their life, and we can learn from them. We can feed off of them. Maybe we have maybe three or four of these traits in our life that we know that we are practicing and we have the discipline and we're implementing. And then there's somebody else that I go to church with. And I'm deficient in this area, and I see a brother or sister in a particular area of virtue or patience, and I'm like, well, I'm feeding off of that, I'm learning off of that. So we feed off each other. That's the beauty of the body, and that's the beauty of being a spirit-filled Christian. It's not what I expected, but it's even more. That's because of my walk and my talk with Him. That's because I'm being grounded in Him, and that's the beauty of having a relationship with God. There's some things Peter began by making comments in the first four verses that he pointed out of our salvation experience. One is, like precious faith received through God's righteousness. Two, the multiplication of grace and peace through knowing God. Three, the encounter with the divine power of God. Four, God's supplying our lives with all things having to do with life and godliness. Five, God's calling us to glory and virtue. Six, the redemption of great and precious promises. Seven, opportunity to partake of the divine nature. Eight, an escape from the corruption of this world. Opportunity and a way of escape. We all know that salvation is a gift of God. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of the sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It comes through divine favor that you can't possibly purchase, earn, or even deserve. We can all agree to that this morning. No matter what I did, I didn't earn it. No matter what I did or didn't do, I know I didn't deserve it. But I'm thankful for God's favor in my life. God was determined in creation to have a people that would, by their own free will, choose to love and to serve Him. God knew people would fall in temptation and to sin, and He already had a plan in place. I'm so thankful for that. In 1 Peter 1, 18-20, it says, "You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Christ wasn't crucified prior to creation, as we all know, but He already had a plan in place for us. When Eve took of the fruit of the tree and she fell, God already had a plan in place. I'm so thankful when I screw up and I make a mess of things, God's already got a backup plan. He already had it calculated in my life. I remember when God spoke to me, it was a powerful moment in my life, and I felt God calling me to something, to a higher level, and I was stunned by it at one time. But He goes, I remember when somebody spoke in tongues and somebody interpreted it, and it was spoken to me personally. He goes, "I will be in your imperfections. I already have your imperfections. I already have your faults. I already have a plan for them." He already had a plan for Eve before Eve was formed. He had a plan for Adam. He had a plan for us before we were born. He knew our hesitations. He knew our setbacks. Our setbacks are not an indication that something that God has promised isn't going to work out. A setback, all it is a setback. That's all it is and no more. It doesn't take away from the promise. God's promise isn't any less valid just because we have a setback on our life. We're going to keep striving. We're not just going to, oh, I just barely made it through that situation. I'm going to thrive through that. What the enemy intended for evil, God is going to use for good. I'm going to move forward. I'm going to be better. God has given me the power to overcome. Not just, I just barely made it through that situation. I come through that fire all smoky and all look like I got charcoal in my face. And I came out of a fiery volcano. No. He wants to purify you through that process. He doesn't want to burn you through any process, but he wants to see you thrive and do greater and better than you ever have before. Does anybody have that desire? I want to be better in my walk with God this year than I was last year. I messed up. Maybe I didn't get my Bible reading done like I like to. Maybe I didn't get up and didn't personally discipline myself like I intended to. But I'm going to put the old things behind me. God has something new in store for me. He's doing a new thing. And I've heard this. There's something consistent that is being said throughout the church, that God is doing something good, that God has something, a blessing prepared. He's had this prepared a long time ago. But in 2019, he's got something greater for us. I'm going to expect something greater. I heard expectation comes before the miraculous. I need to adopt that mindset of I expect God to do something miraculous. I expect God something to do great in my life personally. I expect God something to do great in the church, in his house today on the corner of Eddy and Third. May we come here with an expectation from here on out, every time we get together in 2019. Lord, I'm expecting. Brother L, I'm expecting. If you see me come down here with my head down and my posture in any other way but my head up and my chin up, say, brother, be expecting. I want that to be contagious. The enemy wants to try to rub some things off of us believers as, you know, I want to rub some doubt on you. I want to rub off some fear on you. I want to rub something contagious like faith. I want to rub something contagious like expectation for this year. In Jesus' name, I want to rub something off, maybe do some virtues in this lesson that I could apply to my life that I know that I need improvement on. And it's not impossible for me to do. That I can do this because I can do all things through Christ. I'm not doing it on my own ability. I'm not doing this to score a touchdown, to see how many yards I could gain in a year. But what I can do through Christ. And I'm not going to take this out of context. God gave me revelation. He gave us revelation. He gave us understanding that you can do this through him. You can thrive through him. You're not a survivor, but you're a thriver through him. Aren't you thankful for that in Jesus' name? Hallelujah, hallelujah. The gift of redemption is an exceeding great and precious promise. And the gift of salvation allows us to partake of the divine nature of God himself. I get to take on that nature. It's an opportunity. It's a challenge. It's an opportunity for me to grow. I want to excel in this. It may not be easy sometimes because I'm rubbed up against every day of people with a human nature that is contrary to this spiritual nature that I'm trying to thrive in. Every day. I'm here 2 days a week, but 5 days out of the week, I am rubbing elbows with these people that don't think and don't have a desire for the spiritual nature for me to thrive in. So we get together, we encourage by each other to thrive in this. I don't want to survive in this. If I'm going to survive in this, it's exhausting. But if I'm going to thrive in this, there's an energy that I get. There's something that I do when I wake up in the morning. I can't wait to get up. I'm excelling. Maybe I'm taking baby steps. Maybe I'm just barely moving, but I am moving. Maybe they're not by leaps and bounds, but I am excelling. Maybe I only read one chapter today, but tomorrow I'm gonna strive to read two. Maybe I just prayed for a minute on my way out the door, but I'm gonna set my alarm clock about 5 minutes back, and I'm gonna give God about three more minutes tomorrow morning. I want to strive. I want to thrive. Striving means thriving. Acts 1 and 8 says, "But ye shall receive power if the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to utter the most part of the earth." His Spirit gives us the ability to make right choices and to be witnesses. We are empowered. We have the power. We just need to use it. There's power tools that I have on the job. They don't do me any good unless I'm plugged into the power source. I need to be tapped into the power source to activate these power tools to be effective and accomplish things for the kingdom of God. I love tools. I like having tools. I like to see when somebody has more tools than me because I know what's new and what's trending out there. But because I may need to, I like to borrow them sometime. But or maybe put them on my wish list to go buy them. But I want to use and I want to activate what God has for us. He has this all laid out for us. We just have to pick it up and apply it to our life. Peter mentioned seven specific things we should be diligently adding to our faith. In verses 5-7 of the text, it says, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. We can't be saved by our works alone, by our works at all, but being diligent and putting forth effort is essential for our spiritual growth. Ephesians 2:8-10 says, for grace are you saved through faith, and it is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It is my daily walk. It is my daily talk. It is my relationship with him. We are to add virtue to our faith, and it has to do with moral goodness and excellence displayed on one's modesty and purity. Of purity that comes to mind, I remember this, and everybody has a personal testimony and a story of maybe how God has transformed you, and you are an effective witness in the workplace in your life, and you don't even know it. I remember being at a retirement party for my boss, this is over 10, 15 years ago, and as a conversation, as you know, can go south in a hurry when you're not around church people. It could start out good, and all of a sudden it goes, wow. I remember a guy came up to me and put his hands over my ears, and he goes, you're too pure for that. I didn't expect that. It caught me by surprise. But it's just about letting our light shine. And what does a light do? It doesn't shoot a cannon or blow a horn. It just shines for the world to see. I wasn't preaching at them at work on a lunch break or anything. I was just letting my life shine by not doing and saying those things. If you don't swear, if you don't smoke, and you don't drink, and you're not hungover long enough on the job, people in the workplace are going to know something a little different about you. And, you know, we kind of laugh about it, but they're like, okay, wait a second. I've been with you, and you could have blown up over this situation. You could have thrown a total fit, but you maintain your composure. And that's a trait that God has given us to have poise and to be calm in a situation. For if we weren't empowered by his spirit, we wouldn't be able to do it. So people are taking notice of this. And it is an attractive trait and a quality that people around us are looking for. And it is something that they're desiring, they are hungry in us to have. Peter went on to encourage us to add knowledge to virtue. This is another building block. Moral excellence is good and necessary, but without knowledge, it becomes only a human discipline and void of eternal value. In other words, it means that being good and a moral person doesn't initiate salvation. I need to add to this. So the Lord changed me. I became a new creature in him, but I need to grow in this. Yes, I changed my ways. I changed the way I talked. I changed the way I thought. I changed the way I dressed. But now I need to get in the word. I need to get grounded. I need to get rooted, because it's a high time in our life when God fills us with his spirit. But you know what? That's a season, and that's something that's going to happen. But that's just the beginning. But it's like anything else. There's a season that's going to come along, and winds are going to blow, and you're going to feel like you're in a rainstorm in a monsoon season, and you don't have an umbrella in your hand. All you're going to be able to do is just stand there. And being rooted and grounded in the word of God and being a part of the church, you're able to withstand those storms in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But it's up to me to do that. I could come here and God could fill me with his spirit and I could leave it at that. But if I don't grow, there's only a certain amount of time. That's a tough love thing. We're going to get cut. If you're not going to grow here, maybe I have plans to move you, take you out of your comfort zone, and transplant you maybe somewhere else. We don't know that. We've seen this. Anybody that's been here long enough, we've seen people moved, have been transplanted maybe to another church body. And maybe we've seen people come from other churches here. But God has a purpose and a plan for that. And I'm so thankful to be a part of that and to see that. Peter stated that we should add temperance to our knowledge, and having knowledge of God and his word is essential. But we must be willing to submit to the word, embrace its truths, and obey its precepts. That requires an effort on my part. One of the dimensions of the word temperance in Greek is just simply self-control. I need to maintain self-control. And how can I do that? I can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit living within me. And if temperance seems challenging, if having knowledge seems challenging, and having virtue seems challenging, maybe there's something else that we need to practice, and that's patience. That is a huge challenge and a huge test for us at times, especially when we get in the hustle and bustle of the fast-paced world that we live in, especially we live in the Chicago area. Everything is more fast-paced. You talk to other people that don't live in this area, things are more laid back, and that's just part of our culture here. That you got to be going, you got to be moving. I remember years ago, we were doing some street witnessing, inviting people to a church in the city of Chicago, and it was, I don't know what they call it, a beat. When you're on the beat, you're always moving. So it was somebody who's on the beat, and they're moving, and they're going, they're walking down the street to get to their destination. They don't have time to stand there and talk to you. So you're picking up a conversation. Hey, how you doing? We'd like to invite you to church. They're having a revival service this week. But you're not stopping because you're moving. He's moving. So you're carrying on this conversation. So, and that's just something that came to my mind. God wants us to have patience. And this is a great scripture and about being rooted. In Luke 21:19, it says, by standing firm, you will win your own souls. There's something about being grounded that is essential to us growing. First, we need to be grounded. We need to be discipled. We don't be in a hurry to just want to take off and do things. Because when we want to be anxious to do things, we can fizzle out like a shooting star. We can come in all fired up and ready to go. And there's nothing wrong with being on fire for God. And we should always be on fire. And we are encouraged by new converts in the church when they get on fire. But it's not a downer for them to be discipled. It's not a downer for them. It's essential for them because we don't want to see them be all fired up and fizzle out like a shooting star, just here for a minute and gone. We want to see you grounded. We don't want to see you established. God wants to see you fruitful like he has us to be fruitful, because there's going to be seasons in your life where storms are going to come and you need that strong root system to be able to stand the test of time through these seasons. You need this church. We need our brothers and our sisters. We rely upon each other through those seasons, because one's going to go through a summer season and one's going to go through a dark winter, long night season. So we need each other, rely upon each other. In patience, here's a great example of two frogs that fell into a tub of cream. One looked at the high sides of the tub, which were too difficult to crawl over, and said, it's hopeless. So he resigned himself to death, relaxed, and sank to the bottom. The other frog, determined to keep swimming as long as he could, he said, something might happen. He kept kicking, churning, and finally he found himself on a solid platform of butter and jumped out to safety. It's a continual work in progress. One thing that the boss, you would want to hear from the boss that I worked for years ago, was very good. He wouldn't say much. He wouldn't pat guys on the back and say, good job. But if you were working really hard and you were applying yourself and you were profitable for the company and you worked well with others, he would walk by and say, very good. And then he would just keep on going, or he'd get out in his truck and head back to the office. But you would hear guys, coworkers say, I got a very good from Jim today. You know what I want to hear? I want to hear well done. That's going to take determination. That's going to take effort on my part. I'm going to have to hurry through this. Peter continued to build onto his attitudes for the faith of a Christian virtue: knowledge, temperance, patience, and then godliness. It's defined as a reverence and a respect, a piety towards God. As we continue to grow in our Christian character, and our reverence and our respect for God continues to increase, this involves our entire attitude and frame of mind towards God. And I got thinking about this personally. I remember the first time when I got the revelation of what the fear of the Lord really was. I literally started pacing the floor. I went out on the deck behind my house. And something inside of me was like crying out. I fell on my face. I literally lost my appetite for 3 days. I didn't go on an intended fast or anything, but I didn't even want to eat because I got the revelation. God, when the closer you draw to him, the closer he draws to you. And there's a time where I could just be content and enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. But there's this inner room. This is a veil that was separated for me to enter into the holiest of holies. And when I have a divine discontentment, when I'm just like, Lord, I want to enter to your gates with thanksgiving and to your courts with praise. But I want something more. I want a relationship with you more than anything. It's what I desire more than anything. And then there's this godly fear and this reverence that you have that you can't, it changes your demeanor. When you get to it, and I know that there's ones here that have got this. They get it. When you get there, you're not the same again. Because you encountered God in the dimension that you never imagined. I just have a form of godliness. I want to encourage you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just strive, move forward. The closer you get, when you get closer to his presence, you may find yourself trembling. It's a healthy fear. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's not the kind of worldly fear that you should like shun. I remember when we would have some powerful altar services years ago when I first started coming here, and there would be a holy hush, and you would hear an utterance, and then somebody would begin to speak in tongues, and somebody would begin to interpret it. You know what I had to learn to do? I had to learn to just calm myself. Lord, this is of you. This is from you. I should not be afraid. The world tries to intimidate and tries to instill fear in us, but when you're in the presence of God, when you have that close encounter, it's a healthy fear. The seventh, lastly, is charity. The Greek word for charity is agape, which describes the highest form of love one can express. And it thinks not of itself, but only on the recipient. The love of God within us empowers us to love others as he loved us sacrificially and supremely. We could stand at this time. Romans 5:5 says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love, the agape love of God, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." These seven qualities Peter offered are a clear picture of a progressive pattern of spiritual growth through diligent discipline. That means an effort I need to take on my own personal part. As we desire to grow spiritually in these seven areas, Peter exhorts the church in Ephesians 4:11-16. And as we grow spiritually, we help others grow. Continual progress in spiritual growth is normal for every spiritual, healthy Christian believer. I'm going to close with this thought. Scripture admonishes us to grow up into him. I need to grow up into him, into the stature of Christ. Growing up is the essence of maturity. If that's my true desire, it will force me out of my comfort zone. It will force me away from my human nature and to take on a different one, to take on his nature. This will cause us to work together more effectively as a church body and be unified. And when we are unified as a church, nothing is impossible. When I make an effort in 2019 to apply these seven principles, I'm going to grow personally. You're going to grow personally. We are going to help each other grow. And we grow, God says the church body grows. We are going to grow individually, but I believe we're going to grow numerically also. I want to grow. I want to see the church grow. I want to see new converts come in here, get grounded and grow and to be discipled in Jesus' name. May we have a spirit of expectation in 2019 from here on out. I want to be expecting. God, what are you going to do? God already has a plan in place. But is he hesitating? Is he holding himself back because I'm not doing my part? I want to make sure I do my part because his plan is already prepared and in place, and he's ready to do his. I want to be changed. This is a challenging, life-changing lesson, and we still have another hour ahead of us. If we could just come around and pray and prepare our hearts for the next hour in Jesus' name.
So you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can use me. Here I am. Here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm Lord. So you can use me. myself, I give myself to you. A shelter from the storm.